We're having a special class, a letter the Chazon Ish wrote. This letter is printed in the beginning of the third volume of Kovetz Igrot, the compilation of letters of the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish is, as we see from the letter, I only know from inference from the letter, he's writing to a disciple of his, a disciple who has decided that he's not so sure if he wants to keep Torah and Mitzvot. As we see, you'll see from the letter. And then he came back to the Chazon Ish, and after that first meeting, when he rejoined the Chazon Ish's yeshiva, the Chazon Ish wrote him the following letter. Everything I'm telling you now, I only know from the letter. I worked my way backwards. You'll see from the letter, we can understand what had transpired. Yekiri v'chavivi sheyichye shalom rav. My cherished, my beloved, I wish you longevity and great peace. במידה ידועה היתלתי על עצמי התעניינות. As you know, I have taken upon myself to take a personal interest בשביל סיפוק נפשך והנחת רוחך, that you should be taken care of and that you should come to peace. אפשר הדבר שתקדים לקראתנו בחפץ לב ולא תצפה לעזרה מצידנו. The possibility exists that you should approach us and that you should have the desire and you shouldn't sit in expectation of our assistance. Ve'az yekal aleinu, and then it'll be easier for us, lishtatef imcha, to be partners with you, im nafikchen mimcha bezeh, ve'lazanu mekavim. We hope to find that you succeed, and we all enjoy the fact that you're a member of our yeshiva. What the Chazon Ish said in that opening paragraph is a key message in its own right. Aside from anything else, a student comes to yeshiva, very often a student thinks, I'm here to learn. The rabbis, the teachers, the educators, the administration are here to serve me so that I learn, and I am here to serve me so that I learn, so it's all about me, right? You want me to learn and I want me to learn, great. The Chazon Ish came and turned the tables on him a little bit. The Chazon Ish said, you know, it's possible that you take a step forward. You shouldn't only expect to be helped. A person that enters yeshiva and assumes they're going to take care of things for me. Well, the Chazon Ish says, maybe not. It's possible that you will take the steps forward and take care and not expect that we will help you. And this is one of the pivotal weaknesses that a person can have. When a person's new to Judaism, so sometimes a person feels like he needs a lot of help. The Chazon Ish is telling his student, you should be a partner. Notice how he shifts from talking to him as a student who we are helping to our partner. We want to partner with you, and that's our hope. So that shift from being a recipient to being a partner, that's a very healthy shift. Rav Lapian writes that a person in all of his life has to make a choice between two things. Is he a recipient or a giver? The Chazon Ish just said there's a third option. You could be a partner. A person comes to yeshiva, it's very easy for him to feel like he's only a recipient. He shouldn't be only a recipient. He should be a partner. And being a partner means I'm not only interested in my own growth. I'm interested in others too. Let me see if I can help. You know, again, it's very easy to fall into that niche, into that groove. Everyone's taking care of me. The kids who are close to me in shul, I encourage to volunteer and come clean the shul. Because if a kid is only getting sweets in shul, and he's only getting and getting and getting, that's not healthy. He should want to give the shul. So the kids who I'm close to, I show up with them, we clean, we set up the chairs, we clean up the sidurim other people forget. Because when a person feels like he's a partner, then a person is much more empowered. If I just need help, so okay. It's a very comfortable situation, but I'm a needy person. I shouldn't be that. I should try to be a giving person. I'm in a scenario where theoretically I'm on the receiving end. Not necessarily.
You make makes the person happy too. It makes the kid happy. Agreed. He's able to help someone.
Agreed. So the first thing the Chazon Ish tells the student is, you could also come towards us. And that's a very important point. That's number one. Next, Amru b'brachot, our sages say in Tractate Brachos, Imreita dor shedivrei Torah chavivin alav pazer. If you see a generation that loves Torah, then you should give out your Torah. Open up a website, makemachonmeir.org. Make Torah available to the masses. But the continuation, which he does not quote, is the Talmud says, and if you see a generation where they're not so interested in Torah, so then the Talmud says, kenos, don't make your Torah so readily available. Hold it. You want, if someone wants to learn, they have to appreciate what they're learning. If they don't have an appreciation for it, don't offer it. Hold it back. You shouldn't make the Torah valueless. The Torah is the most cherished thing in the world. If a person wants to learn, they have to cherish it. Step one, there has to be an appreciation. I'm approaching something valuable. If there isn't that appreciation, don't teach, the Talmud says. Make a limited class. You know, whenever you teach, you could say, I will match myself to the student, as rabbis often did. They traveled in order to teach. They came to the students. They made the academies available. They worked hard so the students would be able to learn. And sometimes you say, whoever wants to come, let them make it work. You always have that option of making it more available or less available. Hazivug shel ha-chokhmah im ha-adam, the matching, that relationship between Torah and man, i-efshar bli k'mihah v'teavon, you cannot have it without having a very strong desire. Now, I want us to discuss now something which we'll expand on in the Jewish home, but there's a phenomenal concept that most people are unaware of. And that is that within the human being, there are many emotions in potential. And it is up to us to bring them to realization. I'll give you a small example. A child, you're sitting at dinner with the child and he spills his cup of milk. So now you have two possible reactions. You can get upset. Why aren't you more careful? Why did you fill your cup to the top? Why did you put your cup near the edge? Or you can remind yourself that you're supposed to be the kind parent. And what they did is absolutely normal. They're a child. There's nothing wrong with what they did. Even if you told them not to fill to the top, and they did fill to the top. Even if you told them not to leave it at the edge, and they did leave it at the edge. That's part of being a child. And what's going to be so terrible if you kindly and gently go and get the rag, or ask the child to get the rag, and you say, oy vey, it spilled, and you clean it up. And then you refill your child's cup, and you show an expression of love, and care, and understanding, and patience. And you know what happens when you behave that way? Even if, when the child first spilled the cup, you saw red. Because you had a bad day. Because you're uptight. Because this is the fifth time the child spilled. We had a child that my wife and I would joke that if there was any way in the world the child could spill, they would. So the child asked to take a bottle. So we said, we don't want you to spill it. So the child said, you don't want me to spill that? And knocked over a different bottle. Not on purpose. Our children are like that. Fine. So you're going to get angry at the child? So what if this child would spill everything that came their way? Today, Baruch Hashem, they don't anymore. You ask me why? I have no clue. Maybe their perception changed. I'm not sure what changed. Something developed as they matured.
Maybe they saw your reaction. That's why they said, I have to be better to them.
Maybe. The child didn't do it on purpose. The child really couldn't. Anything they did, they'd spill. You tell them, don't spill that, they'd spill something else. Like, be careful, there's a bottle there. Oh! You're talking about a kid that would want to help with good intentions to bring the bottle back to the kitchen and wouldn't think that lifting the bottle by the cap might cause the bottle to spill out if it wasn't closed. They wouldn't check. Or the child would pick up a bottle of juice and decide they want to shake it, and they wouldn't notice that there was no cap on and start doing this. And suddenly the whole house is filled with juice. So, okay, the child doesn't mean bad. Over time, they learn. Fine. Again, when it happens, how do we react? Our reaction reveals an emotion. Uncovers an emotion, which ultimately will define how we feel now. Now, this concept is very powerful. People ask themselves, do I love my wife? Well, you know what marriage looks like? Marriage is the most annoying, taxing, difficult thing you will ever do in your life. Marriage can be the most beautiful, worthwhile, engaging thing you'll do in your life. Which one will it be? Well, if you don't work on it, it'll be the former. If you're willing to work on it, and if you come with the realization that beauty is there, I have to uncover it. The beauty of the relationship is there. That emotion, the warmth, the kindness, the love is there. It's a question of whether I'll reveal it or not. We often wait to be affected. We often wait, make me happy. Well, we're trained that way. What do you do? Not you guys, but people who sit down and watch a movie. What are they doing? They're entering vegetation mode. And now the screen is going to entertain. The screen is even going to tell me when I'm supposed to laugh. And if it's a tense moment, so the music is going to remind me I'm supposed to be tense. Whereas even if I'm in another room and I don't know what's going on over there, I get tense just hearing that music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, you like it, you don't like it, they move your emotions. So we're trained, we're a generation that from the time we're watching Sesame Street, we're trained to be told how to feel. And we're trained that other things will affect our emotions. Even the songs, she makes me happy, she makes me glad. Okay, you guys didn't grow up on that. She makes me, no, it doesn't work that way. There is potential for happiness. There is potential in every situation. There is potential, and it's up to us to uncover the positive emotions. And when we uncover them, then we become that. The Chazon Ish writes to the student, he says, matching up wisdom with man cannot happen without desire. So you'll tell me, but I don't desire. I have no desire to learn. Not true. There's the potential. Will I uncover it? Divrei Torah Chavivim. Kach Achiba Potech Et Amoch Ve'et Halev. The words of Torah are precious. If you love it, then your mind opens up, your heart opens up. Livloach Chochma Bina V'dat. To consume it. You know, in speed reading, one of the techniques they teach you is to move. The mere fact that you move forces you to focus. If you sit down in front of a book and you're going to read at the pace that your eyes choose to move, so then you're going to read very slowly and your mind is going to wander. You're not going to be focused. The second you put a piece of paper above the line you're reading and you slowly move the paper down and you force your eyes to move more quickly, you force your mind to be engaged and then you start reading more quickly. If your mind is engaged, you absorb. You get the material. Divrei Torah Chavivin, the words of Torah are precious. Koach Achiba, the force of that love, if you really cherish the Torah, then that will open one's mind and heart. Then you can absorb the Torah, and you consume it. The Talmud says, I don't know, it's an acronym here, I don't know if it's Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yochanan, it's Reish Yod. You could give all your wealth, and they'd mock it compared to his love of Torah. So again, you'll say, but I don't yet have it. You can develop it. A person enters yeshiva, let's start without entering yeshiva. You wake up in the morning. So I know people, and there might be many people this way, that wake up in the morning and, oh no. One day it's, oh no, it's raining. Another day it's, oh no, I overslept. A third day it's, oh no, I forgot to brush my teeth last night. But every morning it's, oh no. There are always reasons to wake up feeling lousy. Then you have a person that wakes up in the morning and it's Mode Ani Lefanecha. I thank you. Melech Chai Vekayam, the living, existent king. Shechezarta bi nishmati, you gave me back life, I'm alive. Baruch Hashem. Bechemla, with great compassion and love. Rabba Munatecha, how great is your faith in us. You gave me another chance, I have another day. Wow. Am I excited or am I not excited? No,
awful.
Huh?
Awful.
Awful. Awfully excited. Okay. When people love life, then they approach life differently. I have a very good friend. When his wife was dying of cancer, and they knew she didn't have 4 months left to live. Body was riddled and it was over. She wouldn't take morphine for her pain. They asked her why. She said, I want to live. They said, you're in pain. She said, but I'm living the pain. And the minute I'm going to take the morphine, then I'm not here. What's life worth living? I got to live.
That's not everyone, though. Most people take the morphine.
Okay. But that's a person who loves life.
No.
I hear?
That's disgusting.
My wife did.
She did what?
She took the cocktail.
Okay.
I'm a bit of her. I know what I'm talking about.
I hear you. No. I hear. Okay. I'm just saying that...
My wife just wanted as much morphine as she can get.
I'm not challenging the people who... take the morphine. I'm just saying...
She didn't.
What?
She...
I'm just saying, this woman did not. I'm not saying, you know...
Right.
When the dentist asks me if I want him to put my tooth to sleep, I say, put it to sleep. He says, you won't sense your mouth for 3 hours. I say, put it to sleep. What do I need to suffer for? I'm not saying I have that type of strength. I'm just saying, once in my life, I saw a person who loved life. Loved life to the point where... It didn't matter to her what pain she would undergo. She wanted to live the moment. Mm. She had a child who wasn't yet toilet trained. Wow. And I remember we met one evening and she said, I'm still going to toilet train her before I go. And she did. She did. That's
spirit.
What?
That's the spirit.
That's the spirit. That's yeah, but the Chazon Ish is saying, when you love something... then you're open, then you absorb it, then you connect to it. When a person walks into Beis Medrash, part of what a person has to do is think to himself, what am I doing here? I'm doing the most meaningful thing in the world. I'm trying to accomplish and understand and know something that will benefit the world and benefit my life. 2 points. Guys, you heard the first one. People sometimes forget it. We're not learning Torah just for ourselves. Torah moves the world forward. We are learning for the masses. We're also learning for ourselves. Chazon Ish says... the reason our sages said, when people love Torah, scatter your Torah. Give it as much as you can, then they'll absorb it. There's a point in teaching them. The Chazon Ish goes on with a beautiful metaphor. He says, "Hachayim em yerek midbari." Life is a wild vegetable growing in the wild. Lo nitan le'achila, and it is not consumable, bi'oto me'ufar be'afar admato. Because it's encased in mud. You pick up a wild vegetable, it's covered with mud. That's life. Aval mamatku achayim, acharei merikatam eshtifatam. But just as the vegetable can be cleansed, and then it's sweet, so too life. If you cleanse it, if you purify it, life becomes sweet. Umanamu achayim hamazirim. And how pleasant is life? When it's shining. And by shining, the Chazon Ish doesn't mean you get anything you want. The Chazon Ish had tremendous difficulties in his lifetime. Off the record, I'll share some with you. I'll just mention one, which is well known. He had no children. And the second one, I'll tell you guys offline. Sorry, please come to Machon Meir. Life, says the Chazon Ish, is a wild vegetable. And when you cleanse it, it's sweet. Makir ani matzavcha kasheh. I recognize, says the Chazon Ish, your difficult state. Nefesh adina megagat al hachayim hanivcharim haTorah vaMitzvot. You have a sensitive soul. And so in your life, you are yearning, the Chazon Ish tells the student, to life, that chosen life, the life led with Torah and Mitzvot. Nefesh nichsefet tzama ve'arga to'a b'midbar en lechem ve'en maim. Your soul is yearning, it is thirsting. It is lost in the desert without food or water. Your soul is yearning. When a person leaves Torah, when a person leaves yeshiva, sometimes people leave and they say, I had so many questions they couldn't answer, right? And what's your life like ever since you left? So you had questions, I understand. And life is so good or life is so confused? Are you searching and searching or have you reached a point where, it's great. Yeah, I understand that the first day a person stops keeping Shabbos, it's an easier thing. You don't keep Shabbos. And the first day he doesn't keep kosher, it's easier to go into any restaurant. I understand that. But I also understand what happens 5 days, 5 months, 5 years down the road. The Chazon Ish says, you left us, and I see your state, and I know that your soul is yearning for a better life, for a purer life, for meaning in life. Nefesh nichsefet, your soul is yearning. You're as though in a desert, without food or water. Vezulat haroe mitzta'er al hamachazeh, notzra be'ashmat hamorim, lo malu tarik. He says, you can say that aside from the one who sees it and is sad by what he sees, something which you will blame and I will blame your teachers for. Lo milu tarik, your teachers never filled your void. Granted. Lo eskilu l'shechlel b'ayit ne'eman b'shei nefesh shokeka. Your teachers weren't smart enough to sophisticate your house, to sophisticate your creation, your understanding, as your soul yearned, your teachers didn't give you enough sophistication. Granted. And you're this vegetable in the desert. I know. And right now, the only thing that's really taking notice, someone who notices your state, is sad for you, but it's someone else's fault. I agree, says the Chazon Ish. Ve'omnam refuatcha betucha. But I want to tell you, the Chazon Ish tells the student, the cure is clear. The cure is 100%. Shkidat haTorah v'chedvat limuda. He says, to focus in learning and enjoy learning. Those are 2 points. Guys sometimes ask me, Rabbi, what should I learn? And I say, it's not only a question of what should you learn, it's also a question of what do you enjoy to learn. They're both important. You can't just learn what you enjoy. You'll read Hasidic stories all day. You won't get too far. But you also have to spice your day with things that you enjoy. Kinyan abkiyut. The Chazon Ish says you have to cover ground. If your learning is focused on 2 lines or 4 lines or half a page of Talmud, you don't feel like you've accomplished. You don't feel connected to the learning. You must cover ground. Chazon Ish says that's why some people hear English Daf Yomi class and I say, go for it. And other people say, but they don't understand everything. I say, they understand a lot. If you take an English Daf Yomi class, they'll explain it to you, you understand it. You cover ground, you start feeling like you've accomplished something. Emuna behira v'amitit. Having clarity and truth in your emuna. One of the greatest frustrations a person has is if he's functioning in a system and within that system he has questions that are unanswered and then key questions. You'll always have questions that are unanswered. That's a blessing, not a curse. If you're a thinking person, you will always have questions. If you don't have questions, I pity you. It means you've stopped to think. If you're thinking, you should have questions. But you should still have clarity at the base level. And when you have that clarity, then you could start enjoying life. When a person lives through life and things aren't clear, there's a key frustration. Aval zirmat hagasut. But what's the alternative? A person flows with life in a vulgar way. And that vulgarity can be in the way a person speaks, eats, thinks, talks, what he sees, what he fantasizes about. A person can flow with life in a very vulgar way. V'chizkata batala. And then a person can also enter a situation where wasting time becomes the given in his life. Today they call it surfing the web. But a person can really be in a state where what's taken hold of his life is wasting his life. And that scenario, says the Chazon Ish, ipru et pnei ha-shamayim. That's like clouds that cover the heaven, ve'evdilu bencha ve'noraita, and they will stand in your way between you and the Torah. When a person allows himself to flow with vulgarity, and a person allows himself to waste his life, so then he can't expect that he'll be able to connect to these pure concepts. Ve'asatan ita alecha shetef yirurim, madrichei menuchatcha. And your satan, meaning your evil inclination, has poured a deluge upon you of doubt. Suddenly everything, you can question everything. And you're not at peace. You can't find peace. And ultimately you're headed to one place, says the Chazon Ish. You're headed to despair. People think that by questioning and doubting everything, they will reach a plateau of comfort. The Chazon Ish says, this path leads you ultimately to despair. Your battle is very difficult for us, the Chazon Ish tells the student. You have a battle with this enemy. If you wouldn't have taken the first step and come and asked us, we would have never thought we could be victorious. Given the habits you've entered, given the life you've chosen, if you wouldn't have come to us and said, I'm taking step one, I want to move, we wouldn't have thought it possible. I had wanted to set up time and talk to you and help you understand the foundations of Jewish belief, because that is the essence of man. When a person is weak in understanding those base elements of a person's fundamental beliefs in Judaism, that is the root of the disease. That's the root of what really allows you to have negative thoughts, to have thoughts of wasting your time, thoughts of wasting your future, because at the root you don't have clarity. The Chazon Ish ends the letter and he says, I thought to delay the timing for better timing. What's called better timing? After you've spent some time delving into Talmud, learning the depths, the logic, the thought process of Talmud, and going back and forth in the thoughts of Talmud, that will sweeten your spirit. And they will open the gates of light in your precious soul. And that was an eye-opener to me. The whole letter is an eye-opener to me. The idea that Chazon Ish says that through learning Torah in depth, that's what opens one's hearts. I can say I've seen that in myself. That through learning the Iyun, specifically through learning the depths and the deep analysis of Talmud, that opens one's heart to understanding the concepts of Emunah. I can't explain it logically. And with now the Chazon Ish says, I'll let this letter suffice in fulfilling my promise. And I will enjoy myself with the thought that I continue to hope to see you happy. Happy in your learning of Torah. Hadoresh Lomcha. Chazon Ish signs, I who seek your peace. So number one, the Chazon Ish said to him, be a partner. Don't be a client. You could walk into yeshiva and expect everyone will serve you. No, you should partner with us. You're responsible for things just like we're responsible for things. It's not just me and you are about you. No, you have to be about being a partner. Number two, Torah is about cherishing it and then you can acquire it. Number three, life is beautiful, but it's like a vegetable that's dirty. You have to cleanse it. Number four, a person's soul yearns for Torah. And the reason a person can't attain it is because his teachers haven't really adequately answered his questions. And through learning Torah, enjoying Torah, a person can get clarity. But vulgarity, wasting time, doubts lead a person to despair. And a person has to open himself to seeing the purity and the clarity, the way of the Torah. When a person has spent time analyzing and learning the depths of Torah, then one becomes more open to understanding the emunah of the Torah.